Hi, this is Tobin Beck at Concordia University in Seward, and today I'm with Reverend John Dang from Hope Lutheran Church in Omaha, as well as with Reverend Russ Sommerfeld of our faculty here at Concordia. So welcome to both of you, and particularly would like to talk with you about Pastor Dang, about your career and your ministry in Omaha, as well as your background, and also touch a little bit about Martin Luther King, since we're commemorating Dr. King. So let me start, I guess, by again welcoming you and asking you to talk a little bit about what you're doing now.
Thank you, Professor. I'm alumni to this university, which is the great things. It actually molded me to be where I am today till I went to seminary. I had my Greek and Hebrew here, so then when I just went to seminary, it was not really a new thing to me because I got a foundation here. And then when I graduated from the seminary, I was called back to Nebraska to work as a missionary alert for Africa immigrant in the state of Nebraska. And then from there, I was sent to Sudan and South Sudan to be assistant to the bishop in area of training, project coordinator, which was based on orphan grant trends works. So when the war broke out, so then I just came back to the U.S. and the state until I received a call at Hope Lutheran Church. And there, I'm a sole pastor. I'm a worker priest. Most of the time I have my full-time job and I just come and do the ministry, which is very good and challenging in different areas because the church has been over 25 years no pastor. So we can't really figure out how we could actually minister in word and also human care capacity. It is a very good experience for me and also for the congregation, how we come together and do the work.
Oh, that's excellent. Can you describe what some of those challenges are?
Well, in the church, it is a range from all age. The first member is 98, and the other one is 2 weeks year old, which is these are the people that I'm serving, and I have almost 17 inbounds, people that I have to communes. So they are very diverse in their location. Some live west side and east side is a good time of driving to reach to those individuals. And of course, in the church, we have a team that meet every Thursday Bible study, even though not too many of them. And we really can have a good time of study together and also know one another and share all the good things that God is doing within that church.
That sounds great.
Of course, on Sunday I do preach, and my president of the congregation is there to do the liturgy every day. And another guy is actually doing the prayer because that's how it has been set up, which is a great ministry, a team thing, which is good.
So can you describe a little bit how you came to be a pastor?
Part of it is because my parents were actual missionary. They were told to go and do mission work in their home land. And then from that perspective, I kind of really feel that I should be part. When I came to the United States, and then that mindset changed because I don't know where to start until I went to synodical office where I had an opportunity to meet with Pastor S.T. William, who was the pastor at Lincoln Christ Lutheran Church. And then there he asked me, what do I want to do? And I said, just I want to be a geologist. And then from there, he asked me if I would be thinking of doing ministry. And I said, I kind of lost that track. And then he said, well, we do have a small university in the middle of nowhere at Seward. If you would like, you could come and visit and check if it is okay with you. You can actually start your study. That's how I actually have been connected again with the ministry.
Wow. Yeah, that's a great story.
Yep.
So you and Pastor Sommerfeld worked together. Could you kind of, both of you guys, describe how that worked?
Go or... Well, I've been dominating the talk.
Well, Pastor Dang and I became acquainted when, first of all, he was here at Concordia University studying, and then as he prepared to leave here and to go to the seminary. Nebraska has one of the largest populations of Sudanese immigrants of any state. And so when I was serving as district president, God convicted our mission executive, Richard Boring, and me, that we really needed to think strongly about how to minister among people that God had brought to us. And we became supportive of the ministries that were getting started here in Omaha and then in Lincoln and then in Lexington also. And so as Pastor Dang finished up here at Concordia and then went to the seminary in Fort Wayne, we were convinced that if it was the Lord's will, we would ask the Lord to bring him back here to Nebraska and really help each of those ministries in those locations to get established and to get strong and also to have pastors. And so he came back. In addition to this, we became really interested in the homeland of the people who were here and the newly formed Evangelical Lutheran Church in Sudan, of South Sudan. And so that took us to Sudan and the opportunity to travel with Pastor Dang, also with Ray Wilkie, pastor in Grace Lutheran Church in Norfolk, and the director of Orphan Grain Train, as well as Claude Hogue, who was at that time the area secretary for the East Africa region for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, as well as leaders of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Sudan, South Sudan. And that gave us the privilege of helping that church body get more fully established and to do some projects there. So Pastor Dang and I have had the opportunity to become well acquainted. I know his wife Martha and their little girl Niliap well. And also he and I have had some great adventures together on trips in Sudan, some that are fun stories to tell.
So what are some of the adventures? And then I'll ask you about some of the challenges and how things have been going there in Sudan. But what were some of the adventures that you had?
Well, we were going to travel on the Nile River. The Nile River, of course, has the White Nile and the Blue Nile that come together at Khartoum. And we were going to travel on the river in order to visit three schools along the river. And as we did, the local folks said, well, this will be about a two-hour trip. And so we acquired a boat and lots of people on board, and we headed on the river. It turned into over a six-hour trip into the darkness of the night. And we had really had a lot of fun, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Yesterday. In spite of the fact that we were no pun intended, uncharted waters at that point. Not our plan originally, yeah, to be 6.5 hours out on the river.
So what happened?
I'll let Pastor Dang take over.
Well, from there, so we just went, and at the midnight, we reached in our place, and there were the tents, and then they prepared for us, and we were staying in those tents in the morning. The women brought a lot of fish for us, and they cook, and we eat, and then we had opportunity to meet with the elders and the student, and then the next day, we moved to other village on the walking distance.
We also had the opportunity to travel from place to place, sometimes in ways that we weren't expecting. There were times when travel arrangements had to be changed at the last minute, and we had to really adapt rather quickly to when we were going to arrive in places, and have to split up as travel companions in order to get there. We even had one occasion where we were able to hitchhike a ride on a United Nations plane because the aircraft that we were going to go on wasn't available any longer to us. And we were virtually hitchhikers on a flight, and arriving in a location on a Saturday, no, it was a Friday, on a Friday, when we weren't expected there until the following Tuesday. And so we had a lot of opportunities to be flexible and a lot of opportunities to trust God, and he knew what he was doing. As I recall our times together doing those kinds of things, I never really had any anxiety or fear. We had fun.
Yeah.
and enjoyed being with each other and enjoyed the opportunities of meeting people, talking with them about Christ, and really getting acquainted with the people who are Christians in that part of the world and seeing God work through them. It was a most gratifying experience.
And then there was one incident that we supposed to come on back early, and then all the flight was booked, and then we could not really get in a flight to take us to Juba. And then God did a miracle. He brought another missionary airplane, went to another town, and then we have to ask them to come and pick us up. And then we did that.
Wow.
So then it was a miracle.
It really was.
Yeah.
So how were you received by the people there?
That was great.
Wonderfully, yeah. Yeah. Of course, Pastor Dang being Sudanese and knowing the language, or languages, I should say, and being able to communicate was very helpful. Missionary Claude Hogue, having a wonderful background and understanding of African culture, was very helpful. For someone such as me, who's very new, had the opportunity to travel back to Sudan multiple times and experience the people there. Just really, I would say, a wonderful experience.
Excellent. What things would be useful for listeners to know about the church's work in Africa?
I would say trusting God is one thing that you don't be in a hurry when you do things, because sometimes things might change or they might just come in the way that you don't really expect to be. So patience is more important in the ministry and mission work in those areas.
Okay. And how can people help?
Pray.
Okay.
And remember that when we've helped there, our goal always is for the people who live there to become the leaders of their own church, and for our help to enable that process and not to in any way replace their roles of leadership. I just really want to say that what Pastor Dang said a moment ago is so true. This is something I learned from my African brothers and sisters, and that is not to always be in such an American hurry and always think I have to have control over everything to make sure it all works, because I'm not in control, never have been. God is. And it's one of the things I really observed, the level of patience of, oh, well, this may go a whole different way than we ever even thought of. We never even imagined this. And then to patiently see that take place. That's not an American trait. That's an African trait. It really is.
For students here at Concordia, in your talks with students and listening with them, what would be useful for students to know about you, your work, and about not only the missions that you've worked on in Africa, but your work here?
I think it would be good for them to get that cross-culture setting, so then they would actually be very open and see how things are doing differently in a Christian perspective and all cross-cultural line.
Okay. And that also, I guess, would carry over with Americans in general now, this particular time. when things can be very polarized, especially between people of different ideologies, different perspectives on things, different races and so on. What message would you have regarding that?
Well, I would say God is in control. Sometimes our human's sinful nature, the flesh would dictate the thing that God would not really want us to do. So that's what is, I would put it that way. So our sinful nature always dictates us to do things which we should not think of to do.
Okay. And prayer there as well, I would think, would also be very useful, would you say?
Mm-hmm. Prayer.
Yep. Okay. And talk a little bit about your family, about your wife and your daughter.
There's some things I would say to, with their connection, being a part of me, that's actually make it great. I was sent to go to do the mission and get all the consignment out of the Fort Sudan. And at the same time, I set a date for my wedding. So then there I was there for 7 months. And when the weddings did approach, and then first I have to come to U.S. and go back. And he has to say, John, don't come back. Make sure you finish the wedding before you come back to United States. Because it was not what we were expecting for that consignment to be out of the port. So then there I just went to Ethiopia, do my wedding, and I went back to Port Sudan to complete the process. It took me 7 months to clear things out from the port. Because there in Khartoum, something come from the United States, by then it was taboo. They said something is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have to go to all the political leaders, so then inform them that those things should be out of the Port Sudan. And that's how it happened.
So ultimately it worked out?
It did work out. In fact, we actually took one of the guides who was working with the State Department, Richard Schmidt.
Oh, Richard Schmidt, yes.
Richard Schmidt has to go to Sudan. He said, well, if it's something to do with the security, I would be part of you guys and helping, talking with the U.S. Embassy so that we could do something about it. And then I invited him while I was in Khartoum. I asked the church to send an invitation letter. By then he was in England. And then he came to Sudan and we went to U.S. Embassy. In fact, it was the time when the Sudan president was indicted. It was not good for us.
It was difficult.
Yeah.
I can imagine that would be kind
oh,
of
yeah,
a
it was not.
Stressful time.
Yeah, well, but you see, because we know people, we actually make it happen. Because the way that we actually flew him, he did not actually register it at the Sudan immigration process, and then we just do the connection, and it just flew out again.
Good.
So Martha's wondering, is John going to get to the wedding? But it all worked out really well,
yeah.
and he arrived. And you might say a little bit more about where Martha is from and, okay. and her education, too. Mm-hmm. Over there.
She is actually from Ethiopia, but we are the same tribe because with those political boundary. They will not really see that this is a tribe, this is a tribe. They just want to say, this from here to here is this country. So we do have Noor in Ethiopia and also in Sudan. So then she's from Ethiopia, and then I'm from Sudan, and I married her. Actually, it was very unfortunate the way I actually meet her. I was sent as doing some work in Sudan. And then I have to go to border of Ethiopia where there's a Lutheran church when people actually move out from this refugee camp going back to Sudan. And then on my way from there, that's how I actually met her at Makene Jesus.
Hmm. You met her through the church, didn't
yeah.
you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you have a daughter?
I do have one daughter who was 4 years old now.
And her name is?
Nyalip.
Niliyep, mm-hmm. which you're saying means patience.
Mm-hmm.
Quite fitting from what we were talking about, don't you think? The patience of the.
Yep.
There's been a lot of patience involved, hasn't
yep,
there, Mr. Dang, in his life, waiting to see how God's going to work things out. Martha also has, her degree is in what from Kenya?
In human resource.
Okay.
And actually she's doing her master's degree also in human resource strategic planning.
And so her undergraduate degree was from Nairobi, right?
Yeah, from Nairobi.
Kenya. Mm-hmm. And now she's working on her master's here in the United States.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. I wanted you also to ask if you could talk a little bit about, you're here to talk about Dr. Martin Luther King, and how does your perspective with your life experiences and your ministry and so forth, what perspective does that give you on Dr. King?
Well, that's a good thing. I put it this way. I think when we talk of the change, when we go back, Cain and Abel, that's something we would be seeing. They do this because of the nature of the sin that we actually have in our blood. And Dr. King is actually a great person who actually brought things to life. And not only for the minority, for all the people who are actually need to get some change. Even now we talk of the woman right, it's because of what he actually put forth with other people. I think it's his legacy, it is something has to be honored even if it's not there. It's not only him, I think it's because it's something that he actually get out from the Bible, or somebody put it this way, he's from his mom and dad and also Jesus. That's where we get his teaching of nonviolent. Not only Mohammed Gandhi. So he's something that he got from his parents.
Well, and as a Christian minister as well, it's something that very much fits, as you say, with the message of Christ and how we treat each other, which also fits very much with Martin Luther as well, with Luther's outlook on we should treat each other.
As you will see that on his name is not, he's not Martin Luther. This is because his father went to Germany and he was very impressed with what he saw with the Luther there, and then he came and changed his name to Martin Luther King Jr. and Sr.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because of what he saw, that he see his son would actually do something greater than that.
I want to thank you very much for being here today. Again, Pastor John Deng from Hope Lutheran Church in Omaha, and also Pastor Russ Sommerfeld from the Concordia Theology Department here in Seward. I'm Tobin Beck. Thank you for listening.